Lesson 33. The Underground.
Gretel loves the Underground in London. She always prefers to travel on the Underground because it's very fast. She doesn't find it difficult now, as she's got used to it. Gretel knows the Underground map very well. Each line has its own colour. For instance, the central line is red, the Piccadilly line is blue, and so on. Londoners always refer to the Underground as the Tube. When you see the long tunnels, it isn't hard to understand why. Yesterday, Gretel went home on the Underground at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. She got a surprise. Since everyone was going home from work, the trains were full. This was the rush hour, and it was a new experience for Gretel. There were a lot of people, but trains arrived every minute. Everyone waited patiently and didn't push. As her train was full, Gretel had to stand, but she didn't mind. In the train, she saw a notice which said, "Avoid the rush hour." "I will next time," Gretel thought.
Lesson 35. Television Day. Blondin. The great acrobat Blondin was very famous in the 19th century. He used to walk on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. On September the 8th, 1860, a crowd of about 300,000 people gathered at Niagara to watch Blondin carry a man across. Three men had offered to go with him, but they failed to appear. So Blondin asked his manager, Mr. Colcord, to climb on his back. Colcord agreed to do this so as not to disappoint the crowd, but he was terrified. The crossing was very difficult because Colcord was heavier than Blondin thought. After he had gone a short way, Blondin had to stop in order to rest. He asked Colcord to get down. At first, Colcord refused, but at last he had to. He clung to Blondin's leg and the rope in order not to fall. Blondin had to stop 6 times during the crossing so as to rest. Sometimes the rope swung as much as 40 feet. At last, both men crossed safely. The crowd sighed with relief. So did poor Mr. Colcord.
Lesson 37. Not in front of the children. Mr. Blake is going to take Timmy to his office today so that he may see it. At the moment, the Blakes are having breakfast. Mr. Blake is looking at some letters. He isn't very pleased.
What's the matter, George?
These letters are full of mistakes. Those typists at the office never do anything right. Come on, Timmy. We're going now.
Take care of Timmy, darling. Bye-bye.
Here we are, Timmy. I work in this big building. My office is on the 3rd floor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Blake.
This is my son, Timmy.
Which are the ones that never do anything right, Dad?
Lesson 39. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
In a few days' time, it will be Christmas Day. Sandy and Sue are so excited that they can hardly wait. They broke up on December the 17th, and since then they've been helping Mother. Yesterday, they decorated the living room. Last night, they went to Regent Street with Gretel to see the decorations. Mrs. Clark has already bought all her presents and sent all her cards. She has made a large pudding and ordered a turkey for Christmas Day. Tonight, Sandy and Sue are going to sing carols with their friends so that they may collect money for charity, and Gretel is going to join them. On Christmas Day, the family will exchange presents. Of course, Sandy and Sue don't believe in Father Christmas anymore, but they still hang up stockings beside their beds so that their parents will fill them with presents. The days are dark and short, but everyone is cheerful. Christmas is coming, they say. Lesson 41, Television Day. The Baobab Tree.
Today, our program is about the baobab tree, which grows in West Africa and Australia. As you can see, it is a very strange-looking tree. Its enormous trunk sometimes measures as much as 10 meters in diameter. It is thicker at the bottom than at the top. The branches nearest the ground are very long. Those near the top are very short. It may be a strange-looking tree, but it is extremely useful. Its leaves are good to eat. Its white flowers turn into cool, juicy fruit, which tastes rather like cucumber. There are such strong fibers in the bark that people can make rope and cloth from them. When a baobab gets old, its trunk becomes hollow. An old tree has such a huge hollow trunk that it can hold many people. The local people often build their houses inside these trunks. When it rains, water collects in the hollow. The tree has such a lot of leaves and branches that the water remains cool and fresh. It is such a useful tree, some people could hardly live without it.
Lesson 43, Presents.
Although it's January the 7th, Sandy and Sue are still on holiday. They don't go back to school until next week. They received some lovely presents for Christmas. Their parents bought them a table tennis set. They've been playing ping pong every day, so they can't play very well yet. Father gave Mother a lovely new handbag. Sue gave her some mats, which she wove herself. And Sandy gave her a lamp, which he made himself. Gretel received a scarf and a pair of gloves from Mother and Father, and a box of chocolates from Sandy and Sue. Father received some nice presents, too. He got an electric razor from Mother, some razor blades from Sue, some shaving soap from Sandy, and some aftershave lotion from Gretel. Father laughed when he opened his presents. "Even though they're very useful things," he said, "perhaps I'll grow a beard."
Lesson 45, The Typical English Gentleman.
Yesterday morning, Gretel went to the City of London. She wanted to see St. Paul's Cathedral. She was surprised to see so many Englishmen who looked alike. They were all wearing dark suits and bowler hats. They were all carrying umbrellas and newspapers. Gretel smiled to herself. When she returned home, she asked Mr. Clark about these strange creatures. "They must be typical English gentlemen," she said. "I have often read about them and seen photographs of them. They all look as if they're wearing a uniform. Does the typical English gentleman still exist?" Mr. Clark laughed. "I've never thought about it," he answered. "It's true that many of the men who work in the City of London still wear bowler hats, and I suppose they are typical Englishmen. But look at this." Mr. Clark picked up a magazine and pointed at a photo of a young man. "He's just as typical, perhaps. It seems as if there is no such thing as a typical Englishman. Do you know the English saying, 'It takes all kinds to make a world'? That's true of all countries, including England."
Lesson 47, Television Day, The Sea.
If you looked at the Pacific from a space capsule, you might think that the world was all water. You would hardly be able to see any land at all. Water covers most of the Earth's surface. The sea contains a large number of substances besides common salt. If you boiled away some seawater, you would find over 40 different materials. For instance, out of a cubic mile of water, you would get 94 tons of silver and 3 tons of gold. If it were possible to do this, it still wouldn't be worth the trouble. It would cost more to obtain these precious metals than they are worth. But the sea provides us with a great many materials which we can obtain easily, and which we use a lot. For instance, we use huge quantities of sand in industry to make glass, detergents, and cement. Besides materials like salt and sand, we obtain a great deal of food from the sea. One day, we may even have undersea farms. We have hardly begun to explore the sea. In some ways, it is less familiar than outer space.
Lesson 49. Father tells a joke.
Father is teaching Mother to drive the car. He's very impatient. Mother says he's the worst teacher in the world. Father says women drivers are terrible. He told Mother a joke about a woman driver he knows. This lady drove to a filling station and asked the attendant for 8 gallons of petrol. After the attendant had filled the tank, the lady asked him to check the air pressure in her tires. When he had checked the air pressure, the lady asked him to fill the radiator with water. As soon as he had filled the radiator, the lady asked him for a new dipstick. The attendant was surprised. "A dipstick can't wear out," he said. "My dipstick has," the lady answered. "It's not long enough, so I can't see if there is any oil in the engine."
Lesson 51. Mother Knows Best.
Yesterday, Gretel went on an excursion with the clerk. Mother was driving so that she could get some practice, and Father was sitting beside her. He wasn't always very helpful. "We must get on to the A3, he said. "That's the road which will take us to the south coast." Neither Mother nor Father knew the way to the A3, so they had to stop to ask a policeman. "Excuse me," Mother said. "Could you please tell me the way to the A3? "Yes, madam," the officer said. "Take the first turning on your right and continue along the road till you come to a cinema. Turn left at the cinema and go straight on. This will bring you to the A3. "Thank you, officer," Mother said. Mother drove on, but she didn't turn right. "We're going in the wrong direction," Father cried. "Why didn't you turn right? If you'd turned right back there, we would have come to the A3. "Oh, be quiet, Jim," Mother said. "That policeman made a mistake. If I had turned right back there, I would have been in serious trouble. It was a one-way street."
Lesson 53. Television Day. Penicillin.
If you leave a piece of bread in a warm, damp place, mold will soon grow on it. When this happens, we say that bread has gone moldy. Mold can grow on all kinds of things besides food. On leather, clothing, even on wood. It grows from tiny spores which are in the air. Each spore is like a little mushroom. If the conditions are right, a single spore can quickly spread and form a mold. It is extremely common, and we have all noticed it. In 1928, Sir Alexander Fleming found that mold had killed some germs he was trying to grow in his laboratory. If he had not noticed this, the world would have lost one of the greatest discoveries of the century. Fleming called the substance penicillin. Because penicillin can kill germs, doctors use it to treat diseases. It has saved millions of lives. Scientists grow enormous quantities of common mold so that they can get penicillin from it in order to make antibiotics, that is, substances that kill germs. Next time you see some mold on a piece of bread, remember that it is one of man's greatest friends.
Lesson 55. La-di-da. Mrs. Gasbag and Mrs. Dumpling have just met in the street. They're gossiping about a new shop assistant.
I don't like that new assistant, do you?
Not a bit.
She's awfully stuck up. The way she talks, la-di-da. She says she doesn't really want to be a shop assistant. It's beneath her, she says.
Really?
She said she used to be very rich, but her husband died and didn't leave her any money.
I'm not surprised.
She told me she once owned a big house in the country. I think she's just pretending.
Just showing off.
You know what else I heard?
Oh, really?
But I mustn't tell you all the details. I've already told you more than I heard myself.
Lesson 57. A trip to Scotland.
At present, Gretel is on holiday in Scotland. 2 days ago, she sent a letter to Sue. And today, Mr. and Mrs. Clark have received a card from her. What does Gretel say in her card, Mum? Sue asks. She says she has visited lots of places, Mother answers. She says she's enjoying herself very much, and she hopes we are all well. What did she write in her letter to you, Sue? It was quite a long letter, and full of interesting details, Sue answers. Gretel said she went by train to Edinburgh. She said she stayed in the capital for 2 days and then went to the Cairngorm Mountains. She said she was staying at a hotel in a place called Aviemore. She said she had met a lot of young people there. They had climbed some mountains and gone on several tours. She said she had been to many famous Scottish lakes, including Loch Lomond. She said she thought Scotland was much more beautiful than England. And what about her hotel? She said it was very comfortable, and she had made many new friends. She wrote that she was learning Scottish dances and having a wonderful time.
Lesson 59, Television Day. Edward Lear.
Do you remember the poem, The Owl and the Pussycat? Today we are going to learn something about the man who wrote it. He was born in 1812 and he died in 1888. He was the youngest in a family of 21 children. His father was very rich, but lost all his money before Edward grew up. When this happened, Edward's favorite sister, Anne, said she would look after her brother. She said she could teach him to draw, write, and play the piano. She said she had to look after him because his health was so poor. Edward owed a lot to Anne. When he grew up, he became a well-known artist. He traveled to many parts of the world and drew pictures. For a time during his life, he worked as an artist for Lord Derby. He often entertained Lord Derby's grandchildren with his beautiful nonsense poems. The children loved Mr. Lear and his poems. Though the poems are very amusing, Edward Lear was often ill and unhappy. He never married, and he led a lonely life, even though he became quite famous and people everywhere wanted to meet him. Here are a few lines he wrote about himself. How pleasant to know Mr. Lear, who has written such volumes of stuff. Some think him ill-tempered and queer, but a few think him pleasant enough.
Lesson 61. The cost of living.
The cost of living is simply dreadful, isn't it? Everything's going up all the time. Every time I come to the supermarket, I find prices have increased. It's shocking, simply shocking. Look at these frozen beans. I paid 10 pence for a packet a month ago. Now they're 11 pence. I knew they would go up again. Look at this jam, Marion. I suppose it's gone up too. See, I told you it had. I hope this tinned fruit hasn't gone up. My husband loves it. I'm afraid it has, Marion. It's gone up a penny. Oh, dear. Here's something that hasn't gone up. These biscuits are still the same price. I'm glad they are, because the children love them.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Betty. They haven't gone up, but there are fewer in each package.
Lesson 63. Gretel makes a last-minute booking.
What have you got there, Gretel? Mother asked. I've got a ticket for a concert at the festival hall. The concert's on tonight. I bought the ticket an hour ago. An hour ago? You were lucky, Mother said. It's usually impossible to get tickets at the last minute. You have to book in advance. How did you manage it? Well, Gretel said, I went to the booking office at the festival hall an hour ago and tried to reserve a seat for a concert next Friday. I asked the booking clerk if there were any tickets left, and she said they had sold out completely. So I asked her if she had any tickets for a concert which will be on in a fortnight's time. But that had sold out too. Just as I was leaving, an elderly lady came up to the booking office and asked if she could return her ticket. When she had gone, I asked if I could have it. The booking clerk told me it was for tonight's concert, and I bought it immediately. I was very lucky. You certainly were, Mother said. I hope you enjoy it.
欢迎，
听力课堂，欢迎，
听堂讲堂。